Last week, we looked at Genesis chapter 45. As you know, we're going through the book of Genesis at the moment. And we were a very long sermon last week. And there was one phrase in that chapter that we read it, but we didn't mention it. And it's the words that are on the screen for you. Don't quarrel on the way. And as I was preaching the sermon last Sunday, I thought, you know what? We need to do a sermon just on those words that we haven't even touched on last week. And so today, that is our subject. Don't quarrel on the way. You will remember that Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt. And of course, they don't know who Joseph is until Joseph reveals himself to them. And after he has revealed himself to them, Joseph sends his brothers back to their father in Canaan so that they can collect their father and their own families, their wives and children, and then return with everyone back to Egypt to be reunited with Joseph and to live under the blessings of the Lord brought to them through Joseph. And the interesting thing is this, that as they set out, Joseph cautions them with these words, don't quarrel on the way. Now it is of course interesting to remember that Joseph was the penultimate in age amongst his brothers. But he has the authority to tell his older brothers, don't quarrel on the way. You see, God has given Joseph authority in Egypt, so much so that his own brothers have been bowing down to him on their recent journeys to buy food for their starving families. Bowing down to Joseph in fulfillment of his dreams, those dreams he dreamt at least 22 years ago. Yes, God has given him authority to say to his brothers, don't quarrel on the way. And I just wonder if God may be saying to us today, don't quarrel on the way. What do you think? What do you reckon? Might God be saying to us too, don't quarrel on the way? When things go wrong in the family or in the church like we've experienced today, isn't it so easy? Isn't it the default option of the human heart to quarrel and to argue and to blame? So I think that God might be saying to us this morning, don't quarrel on the way. But one or two of you might of course be saying, but what does it mean to quarrel on the way? Surely that warning, don't quarrel on the way, surely that only makes sense to people who are on the way. So perhaps we need to ask the question, what does it mean to be on the way? Can we look at our next slide, please? So we ask the question, are we on the way? Or to make it more personal, are you, am I on the way? Now in the book of Acts, in chapter 9 and in chapter 19, and in other places too, the early church is referred to as the way. So we need to ask the question, are you part of the way? Are you part of the church, also known as the way? Are you on the way? And of course, in our world today, society will tell us that there are many, many ways. So we need to ask the question, which way are you on? And most specifically, are you on the Jesus way? Do you remember that Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way? Indeed, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. But we need to ask ourselves, in what context did Jesus say that? The context was that he was about to set out on a journey which he was going to make alone, but which the disciples would also make later. And that is similar to the situation with Joseph and his brothers. Think of it. Joseph went ahead of his brothers to Egypt and prepared a place for them in Goshen. Remember Goshen, that was the name of the place they were going to settle. And Jesus went ahead of his disciples and ahead of us too, if we believe in him, to prepare a place for us. Not in Goshen, but in glory. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 14. The reference is on the screen for you. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I tell you what, if you've been watching the news over the last year or so, there are so many, many, many reasons for your heart and mine to be troubled. But Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, right? Well, believe also in me." They believed in some vague notion of God that had been distorted by the whole Jewish hierarchy of all those years. And Jesus says, "You believe in God, right? Well, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Right? Wrong. Well, you might, but of course Thomas didn't, because Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way." Do you get it? Why that relates to our subject this morning? Don't quarrel on the way. Jesus says, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So this message this morning about not quarreling on the way relates specifically to people who have chosen to follow Jesus and to be on his way. And you get it, that Satan wants to make us quarrel, because there's nothing that destroys our witness on the way more than when we quarrel. If we could have everything go wrong with the sound system and the laptop and so on, and we can still worship the Lord, then we are rightly on the way. If the laptop breaks and then we all start bickering and criticizing and destroying each other, then who's won the battle? And Joseph says to his brothers, "Don't quarrel on the way." Yes, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. And Jesus invites us to follow him on his way. And so we do need to ask the question at this point, are you part of the way? Are you on the way? Are you on the Jesus way? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and as your Saviour? If you have never received Jesus, then I encourage you to do so. Receive him into the core of your being. Welcome him into what I call the real you, deep inside the visible you. I'm looking at you guys this morning, and I can see the visible you, but I don't really know what's going on inside. But you know that place of pain. You know that place of regret. You know that place where when you smell that smell, or you hear that sound, or you hear that song on the radio, and it takes you back to 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40, or 50 years, or whatever, and there's the pain. And there's the memories. You might say to me, "Mark, it's old-fashioned to talk about a soul, about a heart, about an inside. about a place where you can invite Jesus. I tell you, it's not old-fashioned, because everyone on this planet today knows there's a place inside of them where Jesus wants to live, because that's the place where you feel the pain. That's the place where you feel the shame. That's the place where you feel the regret. And Jesus wants to live in that place. So if you have never received Jesus, it's as simple and as complicated as saying, Jesus, I invite you, live inside of me. In that place of pain. In that place of failure. In that dark place that I don't want anyone even to see. Well, Jesus, I'm going to give up and I'm going to give in and I'm going to hand over and I'm going to say, Jesus, come in and see the real me deep inside, the visible me. But that's not the main subject this morning. The subject this morning is don't quarrel on the way. So let's move on to slide number 3, please. Slide number 3. Because I think that the warning of Joseph to his brothers is as valid for us as it was for the brothers back then. Don't quarrel on the way. You see, God was about to bless those brothers massively. And even Pharaoh, that pagan ruler, was about to benefit them extraordinarily. And Joseph was loving them and choosing to trust them, those brothers who had behaved so badly in the past, he was choosing to trust those brothers after all that he has been through. Yes, he is choosing to welcome his brothers sacrificially. And in that context, he says to them, don't quarrel on the way. And what we need to understand, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, sometimes, in spite of being blessed enormously, the people of God have a tendency to quarrel with each other. Raise a hand if you've ever had an experience of believers in Jesus quarreling. Just raise a hand if you've ever had that experience. You know it's true, right? Yes, even as God is seeking to bless them, his people can end up destroying each other. And knowing what his brothers were capable of doing, Joseph pleaded with them. I don't think he gave them an order or a command. I think he was pleading with them. Guys, please, don't quarrel on the way. Let's read his words in context. So we'll go to Genesis 45, verse 16. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan. Is that talking about blessing, right? Yeah? And bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. Does that sound to you like blessing? You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. And never mind about all your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours. You don't even need to bring your kitchen appliances, because you can have the best, the cutting edge Egyptian models. And so the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for the journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothing. And this is what he sent to his father, 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, what did he say? Don't quarrel on the way. The brothers were being given so much, the best of the land, the fat of the land, new clothes, silver, provisions, grain and bread, and did you notice it? New wheels. Yes, state of the art Egyptian carts. Such great blessing. But the reality is that blessings don't immune us from quarreling. Maybe I should say that again. And some of you might want to nod with me. Yeah? Blessings don't immune us from quarreling. Joseph said to his brothers, don't quarrel on the way. But here's an interesting question. Where do quarrels actually come from? And that's a cue for our next slide. What causes quarrels and fights among us? This is a question that James addresses in the New Testament. The fact that it's mentioned in the New Testament and the whole Joseph things in the Old Testament, well, that proves to us that quarreling amongst brothers is a problem that existed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I'll let you decide if it's a problem that still exists in our world and in our churches today. What do you reckon? James chapter 4, verse 1. James asks the question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And he goes straight on to answer the question. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Haven't we already just spoken about that inner place? The inner me, deep within the visible me? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Let me ask a question. Is this how many of Joseph's brothers had behaved 22 years ago when they sold him into slavery? Isn't this New Testament passage such an explanation and a description of what those brothers did to Joseph? They had desires that battled within them. They coveted. They were jealous of Joseph because he was doing so well. He was having these amazing dreams. He was loved by his father. And they wanted some of the action. But they didn't ask God. What did they do? They desired, but they couldn't have what they desired, so they killed. They killed their brother, Joseph. Well, they almost killed him. Because they put him in a well, they were going to kill him later. Then they drew him out of the well and sold him as a slave so that he would die a miserable death in bondage as a slave. Did those brothers ever ask anything from God? Did they ever ask anything from their father, Jacob? I don't know. But what does James say? When you do ask, you don't get. Why? Because you ask with the wrong motives. But we need to ask the next question. Slide number 5, please. What is the root cause of all these problems? Well, James 4 continues in verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Do you see, this is the root cause? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's what enmity means, being an enemy. Do you see this root cause? Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that God jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? Do you get that verse? God's put a spirit in us, yeah, each of us, in that inner place, that real me, deep inside the visible me. And he longs for our spirit. He longs for our devotion. He longs for our love. He longs for our attention. And so often our attention is on everything else. So often we love the world and we do not love God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Don't you think that Scripture, or do you think that Scripture says without reason that God jealously longs for the Spirit that He's caused to dwell in us? But you see, He gives us more grace. And that is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows grace or favour to the humble. Let's move on to our next slide, because these are linked. We said, what is the root cause and what is the solution? If the root cause is the fact that we love the world and we don't love God, what is the solution? Well, we started looking at it in verse 6 already. He gives us more grace. That's why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favour to the humble. You know, when Joseph told his brothers about his dream, I don't get anywhere in the Bible that he said it proudly or arrogantly. He just told them, these are the dreams. And bearing in mind those dreams were inspired by God, I don't think we should condemn Joseph for telling him or his brothers over the breakfast table what he dreamt last night. You know, I don't think he was proud or arrogant. God opposes the proud, shows favour to the humble. Verse 7. In answer to the question, what is the solution? Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands. You sinners, wash your hands and purify your hearts. You double-minded, grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. What is the solution? If you want to take it home in a nutshell, take this verse 10 home. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Wasn't that the whole reason why the brothers sold Joseph into slavery? Because they wanted to be number one. They wanted to be lifted up. And they thought that the only way for them to be metaphorically lifted up was if they lowered their brother into the well. By lowering him down, by selling him into slavery, they elevated themselves. But what a sick and a sad and a desperate way to make progress in our world today. You know, our world says that the way to get to the top is by trampling on everybody else. You know that, any of you who have ever had a job where people get promoted and where people can go for promotion and where people can do better. There's that sense in which you've got to prove to the managers and so on that you're the best. And sometimes you prove that by trampling on the people below you. But God operates a different system. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Let's move on to our next slide, please. Because we're talking this morning, you know, the words of Joseph to his brothers, don't quarrel on the way. And one of the reasons why we quarrel so much is because we judge one another. And James finishes this discourse by asking, who are we to judge our neighbour? So continuing in James chapter 4, now in verse 11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, but us, who are we to judge our neighbour? I want to move on to our last slide, number 8. I want to go back to these words of James when he says, you do not have because you do not ask. And I thought this morning it would be good to look at a case study. Can you think of someone that gets mentioned in one of Jesus' parables who probably fits the description of a person who does not receive because they do not ask? What about the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Is there a sense that he doesn't receive because he doesn't ask? Can we have a look at this parable together in the context of this statement, you do not have because you do not ask? But also in the context that we're being told this morning, don't quarrel on the way. Before we even get into the parable, can you remember? Do you know who the older brother is? Can you think of him? Does he seem a quarrelsome type? Let's have a read. Jesus told this parable, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. But meanwhile, the elder brother was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called out to the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Let's remember, as if we could forget, Joseph said to his brothers, "Don't quarrel on the way." James in the New Testament asks, "What causes quarrels and fights among you?" And he goes on to answer that question. And I think that if you look closely, you will see that the older brother in Jesus' parable has been living just as James describes in his answer to his own question.
in the answer to the question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The older brother never received even a young goat so that he could celebrate with his friends. Why do you think that he never received? Could it be that he never asked? That is certainly what James is suggesting. You do not have because you do not ask God. And on the rare occasions when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And when the younger brother comes home, whilst the father says, we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found, whilst the father is rejoicing, the older brother becomes angry and refuses even to go into the house. And by his action, he demonstrates what is in his heart. Yes, he demonstrates that he wished his brother were dead. Indeed, tragically, the older brother proves the truth of what James is teaching. And if you just tweak a few words, you can address the older brother in the words of James. Listen, this is how it would sound. Imagine that James is addressing the older brother. He would be saying this: what causes you to fight and quarrel, older brother? Doesn't it come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill, or at least you wish that your brother was dead. And indeed, declare, in modern speak, he is dead to you. You've heard people say that, yeah? You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. And you merely exist, cut off from fellowship with your father and your family. And whilst you blame everyone else, in reality, you do not have because you do not ask God. And on the rare occasions when you do actually ask for something, you do not receive because you ask with wrong and selfish motives. As we draw to a close, let's have our final slide, please. Let's remember Joseph and his brothers. And remember this, please. God was about to bless those brothers massively. Even Pharaoh was about to benefit them extraordinarily. And Joseph was loving them and choosing to trust them after all that he has been through. Yes, he is choosing to welcome them sacrificially. And what about us? And what about Jesus? Jesus has welcomed us into God's family through his own sacrifice on the cross. And sometimes, in spite of being blessed enormously, the people of God have a tendency to quarrel with each other. Yes, even as God is seeking to bless them, his people can end up destroying each other. So, as we close, let us remember that we are the children of God and the people of the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us continue in the way, Let us be devoted to Jesus, who is the way. And let us heed the words of Joseph. Don't quarrel on the way. Amen.